Tonight, we want to focus on the most powerful created being in the universe. And today, I believe that we're seeing a fresh new evidence of his reality, because indeed Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Just recently, we've had a deluge of programs in the news media which are focusing on the upsurge in witchcraft, the occult, and outright Satan worship. Recently, I'm sure many of you saw what Channel 7 had on their news program for a straight week called Lucifer Has Risen. And now they've come out with a new movie called The Evil Spirit Must Choose Evil. And it's called Simon, King of the Witches. There's another one that dramatizes what's going on in the youth culture today called Something Waltz. I forget the name. I always want to call it the Maranatha Waltz, but that's not it. But there's a leading movie down in Westwood right now that focuses on this tremendous upsurge of the occult within the youth culture. And here was another one called Witchcraft 70, which featured what's going on in the youth culture. Whenever the news media and the movies begin to pick something up like this, it's evidence that it's running rampant and that it's the hottest subject, because they're alert to things that are happening today. I believe what's happening, though, is really spotlighted in a book I read, which, if you don't mind reading a big and heavy book, it's really worth reading. It's called The Bible, the Supernatural, and the Jews. It's well written by McCandlish Phillips, who is an Associated Press reporter. And this is what he had to say about the phenomenon. Most synagogues and churches, by denying and cutting out or shutting out genuine supernatural experiences that the Bible says human beings ought to have created a tremendous void that is now being filled in the most destructive way by books that anyone can pick up from a drugstore rack. Never in American history has there been a time when people more need to know what is behind the eruptions and disruptions that are beginning to rend society and disfigure history. Ignorance of these things is not God's program for man. It is the program of evil forces whose interest it is to conceal their activities from their intended victims. I'm just selecting paragraphs out of this book that I thought were meaningful. It's another statement. Satan is at work today in the world and in the United States with an intensity unmatched in experience, and the scriptures warn that his activity will be stepped up greatly among the nations, both in degree and in velocity, in the years immediately ahead. Satan desires to organize mankind for its own destruction. Unless we know of him and how he works, we will be caught short and find ourselves unable to cope with the events that descend upon us. To a degree, that is already the case. Supernaturalism has come into this country in a rush, and it is here to stay. Whether we like it or not, wearing blinders will not help. Americans need desperately to know what the Bible says about it before tragedy strikes homes and families who don't know what is happening to their young members or why. Then he goes on to say, the first step in the satanic takeover of a nation is to draw the people away from faith in God and in His Word. The next stage is to increase them steadily in the indulgence of sin, particularly sex. The third stage is to lead them into false worship and false supernaturalism. The final stage is usually to bring in some dictator who is demon-possessed. We are now in the third stage, he said, where this nation is being switched over to the occult and to false religion. Now, I believe Mr. Phillips shows incredible insight into what is happening. because there are tremendous evidences of witchcraft and the occult running rampant, particularly in the United States, but not just here, but in other parts of the world. Here are just a few things that were in the New York Times magazine, June 1, 1969. At a major Canadian university, the student body was given a chance to recommend courses of its own choosing to be included in the curriculum. The majority of the courses chosen had to do with astrology, Zen, sorcery, and witchcraft. A certain Catholic university here in America discovered that it had a coven of warlocks on the campus. Warlocks, for the uninitiated, are male witches. As the dean of the institution put it, "We've really become progressive around here. A couple of hundred years ago, we would have burned them at the stake. 25 years ago, I would have expelled them. Now we simply send them to a psychiatrist." In the hills of Sonoma, California, there flourishes an institution called the Six-Day School, composed largely of Berkeley dropouts who learn about the political pacifism, astrology, vegetarian dieting, mysticism, and magic during the course of their stay at the school, which usually exceeds 6 days. One group last year left Sonoma to proceed to Mount Shasta, there to await the end of the world. They go on to say the hippies were the first to become concerned with the mystical and the occult, but many of the new religious enthusiasts are not hippies in the ordinary sense, and most of them are not willing to go the drug route with the hippies. Some say, quite frankly, that they view religion as a substitute for drugs and one that is much less dangerous. In the West magazine, in an article entitled Mystics Galore, April 25th, 1971, this is what they had to say about the late Bishop Pike, and I believe they were very correct. Quote, "The notoriety over the book The Other Side by Bishop Pike and Pike's 1966 TV seance has brought spiritualism back into the limelight for the first time in many years. Most Americans probably even assumed that spiritualism had died out except for a few isolated con men and their hapless victims." Well, I believe that we are witnessing, because of things like Bishop Pike's exposure on television, his book, The Other Side, which brought necromancy, that is, communicating with the dead, and various forms of the supernatural into the limelight, that the supernatural is accelerating tremendously today. And I believe that there is something else that we need to note, and that is that there is a strategy in all of this. I believe that we can discern a fiendishly clever strategy in recent history, and the strategy is worthy of Satan himself. Because about 100 years ago, there began to develop throughout the seminaries of the world and throughout the higher universities a kind of a rationalism that came in on a wave of science and began to discount the supernatural. And particularly in Germany, in the higher schools, where most of your higher schools are connected with former seminaries, they began to attack the authority of the Bible. And this thinking began to permeate virtually every university and college in the world after it started in Germany. And during this period of rationalism, the idea was advanced that we have to do away with any thought of the supernatural, especially the Bible. And they began to say that the Bible was just an outdated book of non-historical myths, and that it couldn't be trusted. And so this kind of thinking spread very heavily across the world into the universities, so that it wasn't strange, and it still isn't strange, to hear in a university history class an outright attack on the Bible and on its historicity, or to hear in an English class an attack on Jesus Christ and the Bible, Or to hear in a philosophy class an all-out attack on whether there's a true God or not, and usually they associate with that the premise that there is no God. So that rationalism was used to wipe out any faith in the authority of the Bible and to cause all of Christianity to erode in its influence. But after this, the events of the world due to the advances of technology began to take on a much more ominous look for man. And as technology began to advance in the field of atomic science and so forth, weapons were brought on the scene which could destroy humanity. Through our advancement in technology, we have so polluted our planet that many are saying that we may not reach the end of this century, that mankind may not survive this century because of pollution. And then came along another tremendous problem, and that's the problem of the population explosion. Many are saying that the tremendous increase of population will, by the end of this century, make it impossible for life to be sustained on this earth. Now, the young people today, especially, confronted as never before with understanding of these problems, began to see that they needed some security, that they needed something to reach out to beyond themselves. And they began to see the bankruptcy of the idea that science could give ultimate answers about life, that science could answer all the problems of life, which they had thought for some years, which they had been taught in classrooms. They began to see that far from science answering man's ultimate problems, that science had been the tool of man to bring him to the point of virtual self-destruction. And so the young people began to turn to drugs, to turn to radicalism, to try to alter the future. And some, just because they couldn't face the tremendous impact of what the future held, they began to turn to drugs in wholesale numbers. But then, as some of their friends began to die from overdoses, they began to turn to some other means of escapism, and that other means just happened to be handy, because Satan is now ready for his real move. He began to bring in the supernatural and the occult. And I believe what Satan has done is to have taken one step backward in order that he could take two steps forward. Satan allowed and even promoted the advent of rationalism and the spread of rationalism throughout the higher learning processes in order to do away with the Bible. But Satan never wanted a world of rationalism. Satan wanted a world where people believe in the supernatural. He wanted a religious world. He wanted a world that could actually respond to the miracles that he can produce. And so now we begin to see the real stratagem of Satan, as he has now, through rationalism, done away with the Bible, which was the only criterion by which we could discern supernatural events as to whether they were of God or of Satan. And now he is bringing in a tremendous explosion of supernatural phenomena. And I believe that what we're witnessing today is Satan setting the stage for that time when he can reach his ultimate purpose, and that is to be worshipped by the whole world. Now, prophecy tells us that's where history is going. Satan is going to, now that men have rejected the Bible, begin to bring in all kinds of supernatural phenomena. Look at 2 Thessalonians with me for a moment. If you are here without a Bible, there are Bibles in the rack before you, and I'll be calling out the page numbers. I picked a Bible like yours so that I could call out page numbers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that's page 211 in the New Testament of those Bibles before you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul in his day warned that there was going to come in the last days a tremendous leader who would take over the whole world. And prophecy tells us that this man is going to gain power in a revived form of Rome, which will be in Europe. And that the advent of this man will be through the special working of Satan. And that's what this passage is about. It says in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he hath taken out of the way." Letteth literally is restrains. The one who now restrains this mystery of iniquity will keep on restraining until he is taken out of the way. Now the restrainer is the Holy Spirit as resident in the Christians that are in the world. But there's a day coming when the Christians are going to suddenly be removed. That's what he is talking about when he says, until he is taken out of the way. Removal of the Christian is tantamount to removal of the Holy Spirit's influence in the world. All right, then in verse 8 it says, "And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now this is a very important prophecy, especially important for this hour in history that we find ourselves. Because this is predicting that before the Antichrist would appear, and I believe the Antichrist is alive somewhere in Europe right now. We don't know who he is because he hasn't been revealed. But he's alive somewhere in Europe right now. But before he would be revealed, Satan would set the stage by working with all power and signs and lying wonders, verse 9. Now those three words are the same words that describe the miracles of Christ in the Gospels. The same Greek words. And I believe that that is done for a purpose, because I believe that what we're going to see is a tremendous counterfeit of the miracles of Christ. A tremendous counterfeit of things which Christ worked and beyond. And we're told that God is going to allow this just shortly before, just as this church is beginning to come to the end of its time here on earth. And it says, "This will come in with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved." In other words, these miracles and all of this supernatural phenomena that Satan would work would come in through deception, would be a great counterfeit. And I believe we have a very good illustration of how this is going to work by what happened with Bishop Pike. A very tragic story, except that I believe that it is something which we all ought to read. There's a book out called The Hauntings of Bishop Pike that I recommend to all of you to read. In this book, Dr. Merrill F. Unger, who is one of the great scholars on the history of demonology, he points out that because Bishop Pike rejected the Bible, because he rejected Jesus Christ, because he rejected the essential core of Christianity, which is that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, that the only way we can come to know God is through the fact that Christ took the penalty for our sins and bore the wrath of God against himself in order that he could purchase forgiveness for us, and that through faith and in faith in Christ alone, man can know God. Pike rejected all of that. And yet, he wanted supernatural phenomena because of a tragedy that happened in his life. His son, Jim, committed suicide. And Satan set the stage for this man who had a great platform to begin to be deluded and deceived and to become a tool by which millions could be drawn favorably towards spiritism and necromancy. In the famous television program where Bishop Pike had a seance with Arthur Ford, Reverend Arthur Ford, millions saw that. And Pike writes that even he was surprised when Ford was able to go into a trance right before the television cameras, and a demon began to speak through this man that claimed to be the departed son of Bishop Pike. And because he had rejected the biblical revelation and he had no criterion for understanding the supernatural, he fell for this hook, line, and sinker. Because you see, those who do not receive a love of the truth, which is the Bible, do not have any criterion for understanding the supernatural. Now, Satan was content to wipe out any belief in the supernatural until he could destroy faith in the Bible in the world. But now that he has by and large destroyed it among the so-called intelligentsia, he is now bringing in the supernatural. And man, confronted with all of the problems that he has in the world, is not able to live without contact with the supernatural, because man has a religious nature. He has a void, a vacuum down in his soul where he must have contact with the supernatural, especially under great periods of stress. And so Satan has men now where he can delude them like he did Bishop Pike during his period of stress. Because you see, what maybe many Christians don't realize, and I'm afraid many Christians don't realize this, and many Christians don't want to believe it, Satan can work supernaturally. Satan does work miracles. And the problem today is that we've got a bunch of Christian skeptics, as well as the world who is skeptical of anything beyond the five senses. So when Satan comes in to people without a criterion to judge miracles and supernatural events, all he has to do is work a few supernatural things, and he's got them hooked. Because they'll be like Bishop Pike, who actually saw real supernatural things occur. In a cottage in which he stayed in England shortly after the death of his son, there began to be all kinds of freaky things take place. They really happened. He saw objects picked up and moved through the room with some invisible force, just carrying them around. He would find things that would be so arranged on his desk that would be just the way his dead son would have arranged them. He found things arranged in exactly the point of a clock, which pointed to the exact time that his son Jim had committed suicide in New York City. And finally, they began to have all kinds of freaky things happen in the apartment. His secretary woke up one morning with her bangs burned off. And then he remembered that his son Jim never liked his secretary's bangs. And he began to get the idea that his son was trying to contact him from the spirit world. So, since he had no knowledge of the Bible, he went to a medium. And who directed him to a medium? Another bishop of the Episcopal Church. And through this medium, immediate contact was made with a demon who impersonated his son. And that's a simple thing for a demon to do. And the Bible warns us that this sort of thing is real. That it's not a fraud. There are real voices that speak through these mediums and are able to tell things of the departed dead which no one else could know except a supernatural being who had access to all of this phenomenon. And so Bishop Pike was deluded because he was convinced that there was the supernatural, but this deluding spirit, instead of leading him to truth, hooked him into this supernaturalism that is of the devil. And it's interesting, the things that this spirit brought up, because this spirit impersonating Jim, Bishop Pike's son, said that he was in a place like a purgatory. He said he wasn't in heaven, but he wasn't in hell. And that he was really getting things together. He was really beginning to understand what life was all about. He taught that there was no real death. And his son Jim, being impersonated by this demon, was told that there were many others of Bishop Pike's friends there, and urged Bishop Pike to go on with his findings of exposing the errors of Christianity. In other words, this demon urged him to keep on rejecting and teaching that Christianity is false. And the demon told Bishop Pike that Paul Tillich wanted to talk to him. And then, through this medium, he recognized even the German brogue, or the German accent, of Paul Tillich. And Paul Tillich began to say things about the ground of being, which he had taught, and he urged and encouraged Bishop Pike to go on with his writing, if this be heresy. And there's no question about what he was writing. It is heresy, and was heresy. But these deluding spirits are going to be the heritage of those who reject the Bible. Today you can't be neutral about Jesus Christ and about the Bible. Never has it been more true, this statement. You had better stand for Christ or you're going to fall for everything. God is about to draw upon the world a great delusion. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have not personally believed in Him, then be careful, because we're in an era of time where God is drawing back the day of grace. He is drawing back the opportunity that men once had. And He is beginning to bring as judgment upon this world the release of Satan to work and to go ahead and delude those who reject the truth, to let them fall into the snare of Satan. And that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Where it says in verse 11, because they don't receive the love of the truth, he says in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why is it that so many today are going into the occult? Why is it that so many in the youth culture, and this is an epidemic, as I quoted from the Los Angeles Times this morning, this is not just a few kids off on a bizarre kick. This is an epidemic. Never has there been anything like this in the world in modern times. I believe that it is because especially the youth, but even world leaders, are becoming desperate, as they, as no other generation, realize the problems that this generation faces. The problem of the prospect of an all-out war which could destroy civilization and destroy man. The problem of pollution which could destroy man. The problem of overpopulation and all of that, the ramifications there. They are desperate to find some security. But because they reject the truth, they don't want God to cramp their lifestyle, they are willing to go over to these overtures of Satan now, where he's bringing out supernatural phenomena. And they're willing to go over to astrology, because there is no moral commitment to base your life on astrology. There's no moral commitment to base your life on the occult. Far from it. As a part of the religious worship of the occult, there comes in a tremendous indulgence in sex, which is a basic part of Satan worship. God is allowing Satan to bring in the great delusion, which he warned, and which he predicted would happen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 warns of these deluding spirits. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, literally. Seducing spirits, particularly, it's a word, the word seducing particularly refers to those demonic beings which work through mediums. It's interesting. And those that work through various miracle workers. And it says doctrines of demons. The idea that Satan has a very carefully cultivated series of teachings, of doctrines that he is spreading to the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 gives us another warning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then he speaks of all of the ramifications of men who have departed from God. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. In other words, there would be a great religious revival. A form of godliness, but denying the real power behind it. You see, Satan wants a religious world. Satan loves religion. That's why he goes to church every Sunday. And in many churches, his ministers are standing in the pulpit. And we're warned that especially in the last days they would come in. Now look at verse, it says here in verses 7 and 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Do you know who Jannes and Jambres were? They were the magicians of Pharaoh. What did they do? Does anyone remember from Exodus? What did the magicians of Pharaoh's court do when Moses worked miracles? They duplicated every one of them. Right. And in whose power? Satan. All right, he's telling us that these false ministers of the future, who would be ever learning but never come to the truth, would be like Jannes and Jambres. In other words, they would work miracles in counterfeit of God, just like it happened in the day of Moses. So we're being warned here of miracle workers that would come in. And I believe that this is a day when Christians need to be careful, as never before, about trying the spirits to see if there be of God or not. I believe that this is a day when just because some man works a miracle, or some woman works a miracle, and there are more women working miracles than men, incidentally. When they do, just because they work a miracle, don't you necessarily believe it's from God until you test it. And the way you test it is by what they say, whether it measures up to the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's firmly rooted in the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ. And we are to test all things today by that standard. And not to be deluded by these deceiving spirits. You know, Jesus said that in the last days, if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. But thank God he said it's not possible. Because those who believe in Christ, who are the elect, those who believe in him, have the Bible, and God expects us to use it. Now, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's page 189. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Never before has there been a need for us to cling to the simple truth of the gospel. And it's very simple. It's so simple that people stumble over it. And they have been for centuries. And the simple thing is this, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to become a man and to take upon himself the penalty that was due our sins, to bear our guilt and all of the judgment that was due us. And that as we simply believe that he died personally for us, we are forgiven and made completely acceptable to God, just as we are. Now, in essence, that's a capsule of the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And how do we live life as a Christian? God doesn't tell us to come in and make a list of the 10 things that we like to do and give them up, and make a list of the 10 things we hate to do and start doing them. God doesn't tell us to give something up. God tells us to receive Jesus Christ and to draw our life from him daily. To stop depending upon human energy and to depend moment by moment upon Jesus Christ. Now that is the gospel and the simplicity of Jesus Christ. First, we're delivered from the penalty of sin by the fact that Christ died for our sins. And as we believe it, we're forgiven for the penalty of sin. And the second part of the gospel, and this is just as much a part of the gospel, is that we can live for Jesus Christ, not by our own strength, but by drawing our life from him in a moment-by-moment faith. Now, that's very simple, isn't it? Doesn't take very long to say it. Yet, that is the essence of Christianity. And there are those who are possessed of demons within the churches today who are drawing people astray. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13. Here Paul was dealing with them in his day, and he warned that they would greatly increase in the last days. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, this says Satan has his own corps of ministers. They're very much at work in the world. There is not a mainline denomination today that doesn't have ministers of Satan in it. And they're greatly on the increase within many denominations. Well, that's one program Satan's got. He's working within organized religion. Another program, the real program he wants to promote, and of course, we can't even get to this stage until a country is pretty far down the tubes, is when Satan has successfully wiped out the authority of Scripture to enough of a degree, he begins to bring out actual open worship of himself. The sign of Satan worship within a nation is the sign that it has reached such a low level of disintegration that it's about ready for destruction. And there are so many churches of Satan breaking out in the United States today that most people are not even aware of it. And that is a great sign that the United States is now open to the invasion of demons. This is what McCandlish Phillips said about this. Demons of the East, that is of the Orient, are coming into the United States now that the Bible has been reduced to a book of myths without authority, bringing with them the religious teachings and the occult arts with which they have long deceived the people of the Orient. You see, right down here on Santa Monica Beach, Knicker and Soshi, where did that come from? It came from the Orient. What's back of it? Straight out demonism. You see everywhere, Hare Krishna, a lot of people think, oh, isn't that quaint? We've got a little bit of the Orient here now. Here are these guys chanting Hare, Hare Krishna. That's straight demonism. And that was a step toward the ultimate, which is open Satan worship. Now, where is the world going? Look at Revelation chapter 13. Here's where Satan wants to bring the world. Tomorrow night, we're going to see why Satan wants to be worshipped. Tomorrow night, we're going to go back into the history, and we're going to go back into eternity past and focus on how all of this got started. And I believe that God has given some insights on this that are going to blow your minds. So tomorrow night will be extremely important. But let's look at where Satan is really striving to go. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. This is a look into our immediate future in the world. They, referring to the world of the future, worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now this verse says so much it would take hours to explain it, but let me try to summarize very quickly what it means. In this context, it's talking about the revival of the Roman Empire in the form of 10 nations. The first verse shows that. And the European common market is reviving ancient Rome. Those 10 nations are emerging out of the ruins of the ancient Roman Empire, as I set forth in my book. And ultimately, what's going to happen there is a great leader will emerge. And he is going to come in with a plan that is going to captivate the whole world. The plan will be a fantastic, scintillating strategy for doing away with war. That's why it says at the end of verse 4, who is able to make war with him? The name God gives this leader is the beast, because that's how God sees him. But the world is going to think that he is the savior of mankind. They're going to think he's the greatest man that's ever lived. He'll come in, and it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, then they shall say peace, security, and they will be resting in the leadership of Der Fuhrer. Only this one is going to be the greatest leader that this world has ever seen outside of Jesus Christ. And he will lead the world into the scintillating plan of how to bring about world peace, a new order. And he will bring in electrifying plans of how to deal with the food shortages, which we're going to begin to see in an alarming way about 1975. He will come in with a great plan of how to bring about economic prosperity around the world, as Revelation chapter 18 shows. And yet, why all of this? This man will be personally possessed by Satan himself. And that's why it says at the beginning of this verse, they, the world, worshipped the dragon. Who's the dragon? Look across the page at Revelation 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. It says they will worship the dragon, or Satan. So where is the world headed? Where is this generation headed? Let's get more specific. This generation will wind up worshipping Satan en masse. What we see with Anton LaVey in San Francisco will become worldwide. You want to be here? I don't want to be here in a world like that. And yet that's what this prophecy is telling us, that the world is headed for universal Satan worship. And in order for this to happen, and I believe it's going to happen in this generation, because the signs that set the stage for the second coming of Christ are already upon us. So because of this, all that I can say is that we can expect a tremendous acceleration of supernatural phenomena to draw the rationalistic world, who have rejected the truth, over into the supernatural. I believe the most dramatic increase will happen in the so-called parapsychology field in universities. Most universities have these today. And here are atheistic and agnostic men studying the realm of the supernatural with no hope of understanding it, because you can only understand the supernatural when you've got the criterion and guide of the Bible. And so they will be swept into the delusion of Satan, as they are being swept into the delusion. Tomorrow night I'll read to you a newspaper article on how the Xerox machine was actually invented. Most people do not know that the inventor of the Xerox machine said that he got every detail of it in a couple of revelations from a spirit from another world. I'll read it to you tomorrow night. But this is documented. And the inventor of the Xerox machine left millions in his will for the study of parapsychology. Satan will see that his program is well financed. You can rest assured of that. But as I close tonight, I want to urge you to try to make every one of these meetings this week. If you can't, there are professionally made tapes being made each night. And by the way, the whole series can be purchased on Thursday. You can put in your orders now if you would like to get the set for the week, but they're being professionally made, and they will be of the highest quality, either on cassettes or on reels, and they'll be at a very reasonable price. But try to make each one of these, because I'm going to build night by night. And if you can't be here, try to get tapes. But I believe that this is a time when we need to understand how Satan is at work. We need to understand where all of this happened, where it's going, what is Satan's strategy for the world, and more importantly, what is his strategy for you? How does he work? How do we recognize a demon-possessed person? Now, this is very important. Now, I want to urge you tonight, especially you young people, to realize that there are two errors to avoid. Number one is to avoid the error to think that Satan doesn't exist. And number two, to think that Satan is in everything. Be very careful about who you think is demon-possessed. You could drive someone into absolute mental illness by thinking, you know, telling them they're demon-possessed because they're depressed, when they may not be demon-possessed. There are ways of knowing whether they're demon-possessed or not. We'll go into that this week. How do you actually confront an evil spirit in a person and cast it out? We need to know that. We're going into it. And none but the hardy had better come. But I believe this is a time when we need to know these things. They're forced upon us. Just a few miles from here is one of the biggest concentrations of witch covens in the United States or in the world. We'll be talking about that. I'm going to quote from an interview with the chief of police in Venice and some of the startling things he revealed that's going on in Venice. We need to know what's going on right around our neighborhood. We need to know what happened in the Charles Manson thing. The only thing that I marvel at is that there haven't been more bizarre murders of the Manson type, because the same factors that brought about those murders are possible to be put together in many witch covens that are around this very city right here. But most importantly, I believe that we as Christians need to know how to claim all of the armor that God has provided for us against the wiles of the devil and against this warfare that's going on about us, because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritual majesties. And we want to see how to relate to that. Tonight, as I close, I want to reemphasize this. If you're here tonight And all of this has sounded kind of wild and bizarre. And you really can't accept what I said. Well, then let me tell you why you can't. Satan is doing a good job on you. The Scripture speaks with the same authority about the unseen world. It speaks as if it's just as much a reality as it does about Jesus Christ. So you can't accept one and not accept the other. It may be that you don't really know Jesus Christ. If you don't, then I urge you to make your choice. The time has come when Jesus says emphatically, "He who is not with me is against me." And now that Satan is being allowed to come in with his great delusions, we need as never before to not be neutral. The one who is neutral is going to be swept into the tide of the satanic delusion. Christians need to walk with Christ daily and to be in His Word, to keep your mind saturated with His Word, or you can be swept in to this satanic delusion. Never before has there been a time when Christians needed to walk more closely to Christ than now. There are certain handles that Satan can get in your life, and we're going to talk about this week. Certain handles which can make you under the complete domination of Satan. A Christian can be dominated by Satan. So we need to walk close to Jesus Christ and draw our life from Him daily. Let us close in prayer. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know that Jesus Christ is in your life, you don't really have certainty that you have forgiveness of sins, then here's the good news for you. Right where you sit, in the quiet of your heart, Jesus promises you that He can give you complete forgiveness and bring you into the family of God. Just as you are, you can accept the gift of forgiveness. Right now, pray this prayer and mean it in the quiet of your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sins. I want you to come into my life. I give you the right to make my life pleasing to you. Thank you for coming into my life as you promised. Thank you for forgiveness. Give assurance to that one who prayed that prayer right now, Father. Unloose the mind from the power of Satan and bring it under the control of the Spirit. We pray that you will continue to illuminate each heart. We ask your blessing upon the remainder of this week, that in a special way we might be prepared to be your servants in this hour of iniquity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.